We begin the current daf, Masechtas Becharis daf Ches. We begin on the bottom of Zayim Beis, four lines up at the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues explaining the Brice that was mentioned because of the previous Mishnah, which we had discussed in contrast to the Mishnah before that, regarding when you find a non-kosher animal in the kosher, or a kosher in the non-kosher. We said the basic is the parent, and it doesn't make a difference what's inside. However, our Mishnah said a fish is different because a fish swallows the fish, and if the swallowed fish is kosher, then you can eat it. If not, then you can't. It doesn't depend on the parent. And that the Gemara had qualified that because technically a non-kosher fish could have a kosher-looking fish spawned and born inside of it, because Tarabon is learned the Braisa, which is this is the part we had quoted in the previous daf, Dag Tamei Mashritz, a non-kosher fish, spawns inside of it an actual fish. The fish grows inside the non-kosher fish, so, and then it could have a kosher-looking fish as a child, which then it would be dependent on the parent. Whereas Dag Tar Matl Beitzim, kosher fish, actually, the child's not born inside, but rather they lay eggs, and then the egg is then born as a chicken would have inside from the egg, which then cracks open. Continues the Braisa. Kol HaMoylid, whatever type of a creature gives birth, literally to like a fetus, then Menik, like a human does, then it nurses because the parent has nipples. But whatever lays eggs, then the parent doesn't have nipples. And malakit rather gathers together different crumbs and different foods where it gathers for its children. Chutz me'atalif, except for the bat, which Rashi says is similar to like a mouse which has wings. Shav b'shamat l'beitzim, even though it lays eggs, but unlike other birds, it actually does nurse, even though it lays an egg. Continues the Rashi, says, Ketin tab of ches me'alf, hadulfonin, dolphins, pardon for Raven, given the Adam, they are fruitful and multiply, they give birth like humans. Which actually Rashi had a text, Mibnei Adam, which is if a person mates with the dolphin, could actually impregnate the dolphin. Says the Gemara, Maidul Fun, and what are these dolphins? So Rabbi says, Bnei Yama, these are fish that are in the sea, which they're half man, half fish. Which is Rashi brings the word siren, which is like a mermaid, which is half man and half fish. And therefore they can mate with people. Now the Braisa continues and says, call any species shebeitz of that the testicles of the male is like that of a chai and a behema, which is mibachot, which is on the outside. So then mailid, so then that actually will give birth, meaning like a human does, which the fetus is going to come out. Whereas b'chol, any species that the testicles, the eggs of the male is shebefnim, is on the inside, then matl, then the female will lay beitz and will lay eggs, and that's how it's going to give birth. And that is that really so? Shmuel said that avos, the domesticated goose, v'avos bar, and the wild goose, climb zebizeh. It's a prohibition of a forbidden mixture of mating them, because the males are different. Vavina by my time, we said, what's the difference? So Amabai says, because zeh be'ev mibachutz, the wild goose, the testicles are on the outside, b'zeh be'ev mibifnim, whereas the domesticated one, the testicles are on the inside. And v'tavayu matile beitzim, yet both of them lay eggs. But you said that the laying of eggs depends if the testicles on the outside and the inside, and yet here you see that even though it's on the inside, it still lays eggs. So that even though it's on the outside, that it's going to lay an egg. And you said it was on the outside, that then it's going to be moiled. Sailor rather says the Gemara, no, the qualification is as follows. Not the beitzim, but kol shezachrusai. Any creature that the gid, which is the member itself, is mibachutz, that's on the outside, then moiled, then it gives birth like the way a human does. And whereas mibifnim, but if the testicles are on the outside, but the member, like the wild goose, which it's zachris, its male member, is on the inside, then matl beitzim, then it lays eggs, and therefore that's why it's not a contradiction that even though it's going to lay eggs, because it's zachris is mibifnim, even though beitzim is mibachutz. Now the Braisa continues, says kol shatashmisha b'yom yold b'yom, whatever mates during the daytime gives birth during the daytime. Balayla, yod balayla, if it mates at nighttime, it gives birth at nighttime. Kol shatashmisha b'yom 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 balayla, any creature that mates during the daytime and at nighttime, so yod b'yom b'yom balayla will give birth both during the daytime and the nighttime. So the Gemara explains, the Braisa says, tashmisha b'yom yod b'yom, says the Braisa, what's that which mates during the daytime and gives birth during the daytime? That's tarnagol, that's a chicken. Balayla, yod balayla, that mates during the nighttime and gives birth during the nighttime, that's a talif, that's a bat. And tashmisha b'yom 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 b'layla, that if it mates during the day or at nighttime, yoyla b'yom 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 b'layla, gives birth during the day or nighttime, that's adam chal d'damele, that's humans, that's people, and all those just like that, which they mate at both times, and therefore give birth at all times. Says Gemara, "L'may nafkamin." What's the halachic relevancy of this concept? Says the Gemara, "It's like Rav Mori Barid Rav Kahana." Because the Amr of Mori Barid Rav Kahana, he said the following case: Badak bekina shel tarnagoyel me'erv yamtiv. Someone checked the chicken coop on erv yamtiv. V'lo matzah bay, didn't find any eggs over there. Now ulamachar hishkin, but the next morning before it becomes daytime, he gets up umatzah bay and he finds an egg in the chicken coop. Now, the halacha would generally be an egg that's born on yamtiv. It's forbidden because of mukta. Now, muteres bachila b'yamtiv, he says, but this egg is going to be permitted to be eaten on yamtiv. Why? Because this egg, it's not yet day. And it was definitely not born during the nighttime of when yamtiv already started. Rather, it must have been from yesterday before yamtiv. Because like we said, a tar and a gailis, a chicken does not give birth at nighttime. Eimer le'baduk yafa, we have to say he probably didn't check very well. Because what's this doing over here? It's not yet day, and it doesn't give birth at night. It must have been from before Yom Tov, and therefore wasn't Mukta. Says Gemara, but he did check well. What does that mean? He checked everywhere, he didn't see an egg. What does that mean? So Eimer say, Yatsasa ruba v'chazra hava. It must be a situation where really the majority of the egg had already come out, but then it went back into the hen, into the mother. He says, the egg had already come out of the majority already from the mother from before Yom Tov and went back in. Then, even if it comes in on Yom Tov, it's permitted to be eaten on Yom Tov because we base it based on the majority having already been come out. It was like already was born. So therefore, yeah, even though it came out during the nighttime because this guy checked every Yom Tov, wasn't there, and now it's out here before it's daybreak, yeah, it came out, but it really the birth was before Yom Tov. That's why it's qualified from before Yom Tov, and therefore it's not Muktzah. That's the halacha that we learn out, that we know it wasn't at nighttime because the Tarn Legailis mates during the daytime and only gives birth during the daytime. Now the Braisa continues, Kosha Tashmisha Viburi Shava. Wherever that their mating and their gestation, which is their pregnancy period, is the same, for example, like lambs and goats, where both of them mate the same way, which is the face to the back of the female, and their gestation period is the same, where both of them take 5 months and they give birth. So therefore, yoldim, they can give birth where if one species mates with the other one, it can impregnate. Umagadlin, and could also bring up the other one, they could nurse the other one of that from the, let's say, the goats or the lamb or the other way. That could be zemizet one from the other. That continues the braisa. Kol mishamshim ponim keneged arif. All creatures mate with the face of the male to the back, to the neck of the female. Chutz mishleisha, except for three types. So mishamshim ponim keneged ponim, where their mating is face to face. Ve'elehin, and they are dog, fish, the other man, the nachash, and the snake. Says the Gemara, Maishlani, tell us why these three different, and it's panim keneged panim. So Kiyas Rav Dimi, he said, because Amir Ben Rabba, they said in the West, Ha'il v'dibri mam shchina. Since the Divine Presence spoke with them, where Adam and Nachash, we know from the story of the Eitz Hadas, that Hashem spoke to them. And similarly, there's a pasuk in Yoina that says, V'yirma Hashem l'dag, Hashem spoke to the fish, which has swallowed Yoina. So therefore, since these three Hashem spoke to them, therefore they have this elevated status of tashmish, of panim keneged panim. Now, Tanu Lidna Brai said that Gamal is Acher Keneged Acher. The way camels mate is actually back to back. Related discussion, which we mentioned regarding their Ibur, regarding their gestation, their pregnancy period. Tanu Lidna Brai said, Tarna Gailis, chickens, after the hen becomes impregnated, so the time of the egg till it's completed, which is again this what's called the gestation, the period of the pregnancy, is La'esem Echidyem, is for a period of 21 days. Or connected in the corollary in the Be'ilon regarding trees is the luz, is the hazelnut, which has these small little nuts that grow in it. From the time that it blossoms until the fruit comes out is after a period of 21 days. So to kelv l'chamishim yom, a dog, the completion of the form of the child is a period of 50 days. Or connected be'ilon tena, and the corollary by trees is the fig tree. Chatul l'chamishim v'shnayim yom, a cat takes 52 days, or connected to Elon Tut, and the corollary by a tree is the mulberry, which also takes 52 days till the fruit comes out. Charzil l'shishim yom, the swine takes 60 days, connected to Elon Tapuch, and the corollary by a tree also takes that amount, is the apple. Shul v'chomini shratzim, fox, and all types of vermin are shish chadashim, are 6 months. Connected to Elon Tfuah, and the corollary by a tree is grain. Where that's going according to the one of Brachas of Mem Manaf that says that the tree that Adam Rishon ate from was chita, was wheat, obviously calling grain an ilan, a tree, and therefore we're saying connected to ilan is tvua, which also takes 6 months to come out. Behema daka tahira, a kosher small livestock, l'chamish chadashim, as we said before, goats and lambs, they take 5 months, their pregnancy. A connected to ilan gefen and corollary by tree that takes is a grapevine, which also takes 5 months for the grapes to come out. Behemagasa Temeya, non-kosher large livestock, is l'shem asachaydish, their pregnancy takes 12 months. A connected to Beilin Dekel, and the corollary by trees is the palm tree, which that they, the dates grow in it, taking 12 months. Tahira, kosher large livestock, is l'tisha chadashim, takes 9 months. A connected to Beilin Zayas, and the corollary by tree is the olives, also takes 9 months. Hazev, lion, the hazev is the wolf, vari, and the lion, vadaiv, and the bear, vanemer, and the leopard, vahabardalis, which Rashi says that's apa, vapil, the elephant, vakuf, and the ape, vahakifuf, which is like a monkey, like Rashi says, it's like an ape, it just has a tail. L'shalishanim, their pregnancy is 3 years. Ukenegdim be'ilam b'nei shuach, and the corollary by trees b'nei shuach, which type of like white figs that also take 3 years. Efe, the viper, it could become impregnated l'shivim shana, only after 70 years after it was born. Ukenegdim be'ilam charv, and the corollary by the trees is the carob tree. As the Gemara explains, charev zeh, this carob tree, mishas netiyase ad shas gemar pireisim shivim shana, from when it's planted until when it concludes its fruits is 70 years. Now, v'imei buri, but its actual pregnancy, meaning from when the blossom comes out until the conclusion of the fruit, is shalosh shanim, is 3 years. Now, nachash l'sheva shanim, the gestation period of the snake is 7 years. Now, ula oiser rosh l'mitzin nechava, for that wicked one, the snake, from the story of the Yetzer Das, we don't find the corollary by trees. Now, the Yeshayim, the others say, no, actually, muchsasim, which is a type of b'nai shuach, but not literally b'nai shuach, that they also take a period of 7 years. Now, the Gemara says, but not immediately, where do we know this idea that the snake's ibur, its pregnancy, is 7 years? So, maybe the Rabbi says, and some say it came mishum d'ribshu ben Chananya, because the Pasuk says, after the chet of the Yitzhadas, so Hashem gave the curse for the nachash, for Adam, for Chava, Hashem said to the nachash, Or at mikala behema, you are cursed from all domesticated animals, mukol chayis asadam, from all the wild animals in the field. Now the question is, im behema niskala, if the snake is being cursed from the animals, so mechayla koshkin, so isn't it obvious that he's going to be cursed from the wild animals? Because the behema was more cursed than the chayis, because the least of the behemas is more than the curse of the chayis, because the goats, its gestation is 5 months, and the cat is 52 days. Now, you can't say that, okay, that, what are we talking about? We're talking about that he's more cursed than the chayis, which that is a chiddush, because the lions or the efe is 3 years, is much more. So then maybe that's what we're referring to, and that's why I have to say chaya. But then the question would be in the verse, then just a mikala chaya, you wouldn't need to say behema. So that's the question, saying, so obviously if you're cursed from the bigger one, which the Gemara is assuming is the behema, then what do you need to say chaya? And if it's the chaya, like those other ones, then what do you need to say mikal behema? So elalaymacha, rather, says Yevid Mirab, what it's coming to tell you is, kashem shneskala behema mechaya echad l'shiva, just like the behema was more cursed than the chaya by 7 times, as the Gemara explains, amayni, what is that? Chamor, the donkey, is more cursed than mechatul, than from the cat. So kach niskal hu mebehema achas l'sheva. So that's what it's comparing to say that the snake is more cursed than the behema, just like it's more cursed than the chaya, which is also times 7. Davli shev shnei, which that's 7 years, because that's the understanding when it's saying you're more cursed than mikala behema, just like a behema is more cursed than the chaya, which just like the behema is more cursed than the chaya by 7 times. And what is that? That's the donkey from the cat, because in a year there's 7 times 52, which 52 is for the cat, times 7 is a year. That's 7 times, because that's what the donkey is. Its pregnancy is 1 year. That's how cursed the snake is from the behema, which is like the behema gasa temeya, which 7 times a year is of the temeya gasa. That is 12 months of the behema gasa times 7 is going to be 7 years. Now that is the Gemara. Why? Ema say a different interpretation. Maybe it's the other way around. Just like the chaya is more cursed than the behema, which is achas l'shalosh, the girsa of the Bach takes it the word shanim, because it's not about the years so much as in it's the ratio is 3 to 1. Mind you, what is that of the chaya 3 more times than the behema? It's dari. It's the lion that its pregnancy is 3 years, mechamor from the donkey, which is the behema, which is 12 months, which so therefore the chaya is 3 times more than behema. So kach niskal hu mechaya, then say that whatever is the pregnancy of the chaya is achas l'shalashanim, which is then it's going to be from 1 to 3 years, davali teshashanim, there should be 3 more times than the chaya, which three times the 3 years of the Chaya for the snake will be 9 years. So why are you saying it's just 7 years? So the Gemara continues on the base and says, no. Miksiv mikol chaya mikol behema. Does it say in the order that he's more cursed than from all chayis and from all behemoths, which then you would expound that the snake's more cursed than the wild animal who's more cursed than the behema? No, it doesn't say that. Mikol behema umikol chaya ksiv. The order is that he's more cursed than the behema and from the wild animals, which that understanding is from the behema, which is more cursed. That's how cursed he's going to be, which tells us aruhu mibehema shneskal mechaya, that he's more cursed from the behema, which is more cursed than the chaya. And like we said, there's no more cursed from the behema gasa more than the chamar, which again, that's the 12 months versus the 52 days of the snake, which is a 7-to-1 ratio, which then he gets the 7-to-1 ratio of the 12 months, which is the 7 years. But the Gemara asks, but behema say, k'shem shneskal behema mechaya ech l'shalosh. Okay, so it's the order of what the behemah is more cursed than the chaya. But say not a ratio of 7-to-1, say a ratio of 3-to-1. Because in my new, you could say it's a goat, which is a behemah, mechatol. What more it is than the wild animal of the cat, kach neskal hu mebehemah echad l'shal, so too he's more cursed from the behemah, a ratio of 3-to-1. For example, the behemah dahaka taira, which like we said, that its pregnancy, we're saying from the goat is 5 months, and 3 more times, that he's going to have versus the behemah is going to be 15. So maybe the gestation period of the snake is only 15 months. Says the Gemara, two interpretations. If you want, you could say, no, we call a behemah. It says that the snake is more cursed than all the animals, meaning than more than the most of the behemahs, which the most is the chamar, which is 12 months. And that's what we're contrasting to the chaya, which is a period of 7-to-1, and therefore he's getting 7-to-1 of 12 months, which is 7 years. If you want, you could say, no, a different svar is klalahu. What was this whole said about the pregnancy of the snake? Was a curse to the snake because of the chet of Eitz Hadas. So therefore, klalah, we want to find the most severe curse you could find, the chadiyali that we'll go ahead and put on him, and therefore, the biggest one we could find, in the order that the Pasuk puts it, is a period of 7 years because of a ratio of 7-to-1, and that's what we're going to say. Because as Rashi says, really, we could have asked another question. We could have said, maybe say, just like an animal is more cursed than the chaya, a ratio 2-to-1, because what's that? That's chamor from a shul. That's a donkey to the fox, which that's what a donkey is 2-to-1, so yours is going to be 2-to-1, which is only 2 years. So that he says the same thing. You could either say, we wanted to give the biggest curse you could, because that's what it's trying to say. Or it says, mekalabem, mekalachai, which sounds like that because of the behemah, that it's cursed more than any chaya, and what do we find? The chamor is more cursed than even the chatul, which is a ratio of 7-to-1, and then we're going to say also over here, a ratio of 7-to-1. Now, a related discussion regarding what we're talking about, the gestation period of a snake of 7 years, so I'm like Kesel Rebshu ben Chananya. The Caesar said to Rebshu ben Chananya, Nochash lekame mi abu meilin. How much is the pregnancy in the womb of the snake till it gives birth? So I'm like Shnei, he says it's a period of 7 years. On that he asks, which begins to the rest of the daf, what's known as the sugya of v'hosabi de be'atuna. But what it means is the elders of Atuna, which is the place known as Athens, which are the Greek philosophers, which we're going to interpret as according to simple translation, but in all the deeper mystical works, in the Vilna Gaon, and Likutei Maran, and Maral, they go through and they explain the deeper contention between Greek philosophy and Judaism and Yiddishkeit. That, what do you mean, the elders of Athens, they said, they were arbi'inu v'oilid l'tlas. What do you mean, they mated the snake, and they saw that the snake actually gave birth after 3 years. How are you saying that the pregnancy is 7 years? So on that said, Yubishu b'chananya, no. Hanu me'abri havimei karadal shnim. Those snakes that they mated, the female snake actually was already pregnant 4 years before. So they thought they were mating it then, but actually when it was 3 years later, it was actually from the 4 years that was actually initially pregnant, and therefore it was 7 years. But on that said the Caesar, but v'kmishamshi shemushi. But what do you mean? But they mated them. They had relations. Now, if it was true that the female snake was already pregnant, it would not have had tashmish, because normative practice by chayis and behemahs are once it's pregnant, it doesn't receive a male anymore. So on that said, Rebbe Shimon Chananya, no, snakes mate just like people, and therefore just like people mate even though they're pregnant, so too over here, it's not a proof, and really the female was already pregnant from 4 years before. Now, on that he said, but v'chakima inu, but said the Caesar, but those elders of Athens, they're very smart, they're very intelligent, they definitely would have done due diligence and realized that if it was pregnant or not, and they came out with their studies, that was only 3 years. So that's Rebbe Shimon Chananya, anan chakimin minayu, but we're more intelligent, we're more wise than they. So that said the Caesar, Ichakimus, if you're really so much wiser, Zilzakinu, go ahead and best them in debate, Vaisinuli, and then bring them to me. So Amalei, so Rabbi Shimon Chananya said to him, Kamahaba, how many elders of Athens are there? So he said, Shittin Gavri, there are 60 men. So Amalei, so he said to the Caesar, Avali Sfinta, okay, make me a ship. This Bashitin Bati that has 60 rooms. Chol Beita is Bashitin Bistarkin, every room has 60 beds. So Avali, so he made it for him. Now, Kimatul Hasim, when he came there to their city of Athens, Sa'ala Beit Tavcha, he went into a butcher, to a slaughtering house, and Ashkechelahu gavra the kapashat chivasi. He saw a certain man that was skinning the animal. So Amalei, so he said to him, Reshech Lizvune, is your head for sale? So Amalei, and he said, yes, thinking he meant the head of the animal. So Amalei Bekama says, how much is it? So Amalei Bepaga the Zuz, a half a Zuz. So Yavlei paid him the half a Zuz. Now, Lasayif Amalei, at the end, when he gave him the head, he said to him, Ano Reshech the chivasi, I'm like, did I tell you that I want the head of your animal? No, I didn't say the head of the animal, I said your head. So you owe me your head. So Amalei, so Shur Bechanani said to him, look, Iboyisu the Ishvakach, if you want me to leave you alone, Segei, I want you to go ahead in front of me, and Achvili Pischa de Beatun, show me the entry place of where the elders of Athens are. So Amalei, Mistafina, the butcher said, I'm afraid. They're called the Machvi, whoever shows their hiding place, Katli, they kill him. So Amalei, Shur Bechanani said to him, look, Dari Kuricha de Kanya, carry a bundle of reeds. And when you reach over there opposite the entryway, so zakfa. So put your bundle vertical up on the, turn it upwards on the ground, lay it on the ground, like as if you're just taking a break, and then I'll know that that's where the entryway is. So he did it for him, and then Uzzel, so then Rabbi Shua went, and Ashkach dar Benoi, he found that they were guards, migavoi, on the inside, so that they shouldn't let anyone come in, and Udar Benoi Mibarai, and that there were guards on the outside, which is that in case they saw one of the elders leaving, that they're not allowed to let the elders from the Athens leave either. The reason is because Di Chazu, because if the elders of Athens would see Kara de Aila, if they saw footprints that anyone went in, so Katlu Levarai, they would kill the guards that were on the outside. Because the platform of their by the entryway was thick, was deep, and they poured bran or earth over there, which was recognizable the steps of people. When they would see footprints that went in, so they would kill the guards on the outside, or because they let someone come in. And when they saw footprints with the nafka that went out, so katlu gavoi, so they killed those on the inside, because how do you let people go out? Now, but the guards wouldn't kill anyone until they totally went over past the area where he went past, either going in or going out. But if you started going, they wouldn't kill you. Only if you totally passed by, then they would kill you. So what Rabbi Shimon Chananya did was, so Avcha, Rabbi Shimon Chananya turned backwards, Lisandali, to his sandals. And he stood there by the entryway, by the eskufa, by the platform. So Katlu Ligavai, so they killed the guards on the inside, because that means someone had already passed, and it was the guards on the inside who were supposed to stop people from leaving. Now, after the sandali, he again turned around his sandals, and katlu the kulus, and then they killed all of them. Which, our Gerson makes it sound like that he did it two times, one his footprints going in, one going out, thus indicating someone had gone in or gone out, and then they killed the guards on either side, which either one was responsible either for going in or going out. Which Rashi actually has a different seemingly text, that actually he took one sandal one way, and one sandal the other way. And then generally when the guards would, if someone started going in, like here, Rabbi Shimon Chananya started going in, and he had one foot one way, one foot the other way, so they pushed him away, as long as he didn't cross the threshold of inside. But when the elders of Athens came and they saw this, it appeared like there were two different people, one had gone in, one had gone out, so they killed all the guards, because obviously someone left and someone came in. But really, he had never gone anywhere, because they had pushed him away before he passed the threshold. But this was on the threshold, giving the appearance that someone had done that. So now there were no more guards. So then Rabbi Shua went in. Azul Ashkach Yunuki Mil'el. So he saw the younger sages were on the top, on the upper area. And Sabi Mil'atachas saw that the elders were on the bottom. And they did this intentionally to hurt anyone that would come in. Now, so Amar Rabbi Shimon Chananya said to himself as follows, says, look, Iyahiv Nishlam Alahani, if I give peace to these, to whichever one, Katlahani, the other ones are going to kill me. Because Savri, they're going to think, Anana Definan, we're better. Whereas the Girsa the Bach adds on, because the Asvina Le'el, because the younger ones would say, we sit on the top, Vinu L'tachas, they're on the bottom, which means say we're better. Now, the Yavin Lahani, so Yibishu, if I greet the upper ones first, Kadli Hani, then these other ones are going to kill me, because if he's giving peace to the upper ones first, the ones in the bottom are going to kill him. Why? Because, sorry, they're going to think, Anana Defina, we're better, as our text continues, Danan Kashinat Fe, because we're more senior, we're more elder, and they should have given us greetings first, Vinidardiki, and they're the younger ones. But again, the opposite is also true. If he would give greetings to the elders first, the younger ones would kill him, and they would say, oh, we're more distinguished because we're on the top and they're on the bottom. So which one should he greet first? So he said, Shalom Aluchu, peace to you. Not saying which one, and therefore no one could claim that he gave to the wrong one first. Suddenly they said to him, Maya Viditech, what are you doing? What are you doing over here? So he said to them, Chakim di Yodayano, I'm from the sages of the Jewish people. I want to learn wisdom from you. So they said to him, Ihachi, if you're a sage, let us ask you for wisdom. So he said to them, L'chai, fine. If you best me, if you win me, so call to be Isa, to be whatever you want, you can do with me. But if I win you, then you have to eat with me on my boat. So Amrulay, they said to him as follows, which is all these different types of riddles, which again on the simple, they seem just like riddles or foolish, but again, there's deeper mystical understandings that are hidden here in these Gemaras. So Amrulay, they said to him, if a man goes and he wants to marry a woman, and they don't give her to him, so my chazaleh, so what does he see fit? The azul hecha de madluminate, that he's going to go somewhere which the yichus, the distinguishment, is even greater. She's more noble than the first one, and he's going to ask her hand in marriage. Shouldn't he have learned his lesson that since they didn't give him the first one, for sure they're not going to give him this higher standing wife? So shakal sichsa, so Bishu went and he took a pin. Datsa litatoyim. He went and he stuck his hand on the bottom of the wall where there was no hole over there, and he tried sticking it in. Loyal, it didn't go in. Then Le'eloi, he went and he stuck his hand on a higher point in the wall and he stuck it in where there's a hole and all it went in. Sama, he said, Hainami, this person too. Misrami, Basmazle, he could find the woman that is his partner that is according to his mazle, which means to say because he didn't get lower doesn't mean, it just means it couldn't work, but could be even a higher one, it actually will go. So then they asked him, Gavra de Izivatarif, a man who lent money to his friend and he wasn't getting paid back rather with great difficulty, did he have to go ahead and collect from the collectors? My chazad hada isab, what does he see fit to go lend to another person and he doesn't learn his lesson from the first time? So Amalui said to them, Gavr azul la'agma. Says, a man goes to the forest, katl kamatuna, and he goes and he cuts his first bundle, v'loy matzebe, and he's not able to pick it up on his shoulder. Then katl manach ilivei, he goes and he cuts other bundles more. Why? Because anyways he needs help from others. Adisrami inish matli, until he'll find people that will help him carry it. Here to this person, since he lost on his first business dealing, on his first loan, he goes and then he tries with other people until he'll actually find someone that is trustworthy and he will make his money. So therefore, yeah, he'll continue going. Here also continue where anyways the person is going to have to help him. So then he'll go ahead and maybe make, and he'll have a lot more the second time around. So they said to him, Emelon mili dibidoi. Or the girsa is the kadoi, or the kizavai, which either it means either empty words or words that are false. So Amalui said to them, "Havahu kidnisa diyalda." There was this mare, this mule, which gave birth. Vahavatolele piske, and then there was a document that was hanging on the neck of the baby. Vekasabe, and then on it was written, "The masik bevei abba." That there was out collections in their father's household, may alfezuzi, 100,000 zuz. So Amalei, they said to him, "Vukunisa miyolda, could a mule go ahead and give birth? They're not able to have children." So Amalei said to them, "Hainiu mili debedoi." He says, "These are the empty words that makes no sense." Which yeah, 100% doesn't give birth. So they asked him, "Milcha kisari, when salt goes south, when it spoils." But my malchila, what could you salt it? Because usually salt is a preservative. But if salt itself gets spoiled, what could you salt it with? So Amalui said to them, Besilta, with the shilya, which is the afterbirth, the sack, the kudnisa of the mare, of the mule. So they asked him, Umika silta le kudnisa? What do you mean? Is there a sack for the mule? But it doesn't give birth. So it says, Milcha misari, and the salts spoil? Same idea. So they said, "Bonilon base of Bavir Dalma." Said, "Build us a house in the ear." So Amar Shem, he said, one of the holy names of Hashem, and Tola Ben Riki La'ara, and he was suspended between heaven and earth. And Amalui said to them, "Asikuli live nebetine. Go ahead and bring me bricks and mortar," which is the Bach adds onto the gear. So to Amri they said, "Umika de Motzel Asuke Asim." Could someone go ahead and bring up bricks and mortar there? So Amri said to him, "Umika de Motzel Mimne Beisa Ben Shemay La'ara." Could someone build a house between heaven and earth? Same thing, you can't. Therefore, the same thing, it can't be done. So the Girsa continues. Amri Le, they said to him, "Mitziyasu de Amhecha." Where's the middle of the world? So Zakfal Etzbaase, he stuck up his finger. Amalu Hach, he says, over here. So Amri Le, they said to him, "Umiyem," who's to say? How do you know that? So he said, Aisu Ashli Umashru. Bring ropes and measure. Which shows like they can't disprove him. So they said to him, "Islan Bira Bidabra." We have a pit, a well, in the desert. Aidul Lamasa, out in the forest. Go ahead and bring it into the town. So Amr Lahem, he said to them, "Afshilu luchavli mipari." Go ahead, make me rope out of bran, vaili, and then I'll bring it in. And if you can't do what I'm asking, because it's not possible to make a rope out of bran, so then I can't do what you're asking of me. So they said to him, "Islan richai de tfi." We have a grinding mill that broke. Chayte, stitch it together. So as the Bach brings the girsa, shakal piskim, and they say, took off a piece of the mill, shadilahu, he threw to them, and Amay said to them, "Kruchali minei gardi." Go ahead and take out from this a thread, the way women usually do when they have a garment that's torn, so they want to stitch it together. They take a thread from the garment, and they stitch it with that. So he says, "Okay, go ahead and make thread for me from this mill, which is made out of stone, and make thread, v'achayte, and then I'll stitch it together," which obviously they can't, and therefore he doesn't have to. So they asked him, "Mishara de sakini," a row of plantation of knives, "but my katli," with what could you reap it, with what could you cut it? So he said, "Bekarna de chamer," with the horns of a donkey. So they said, "Umika karna de chamer," what, do donkeys have horns? So he said, "Umika mishara de sakini," is there a row of knives that grow as if it grows? So isolate trey bay, they brought him two eggs. And Amrali, they said to him, "Hai de zagsa," which one of a hen was uchmasi, was black? Which one comes from a white hen? So Aislahu Ihu, he brought to them Trey Givini, two pieces of cheese. Amalhu, he said to them, "Hey de Izuchmasi," which one from a black goat? Bahai de Izuchavarti, which one from a white goat? So Virutsusa de Mist, they asked him, a chick that died in the egg, meaning in the shell. Mecha nafagruchi, where does its spirit go out from? It's totally closed in with the shell. So he said to Mecha Da'al Nafik, wherever it came in, how does a chick have a spirit when it was born in the egg? That's how it goes out. So they said to him, "Achfulan mana, show us a vessel, Dolei Shavi Chavili, that's not worth the loss that it causes as a loss." So Aisu Budja, he brought him a mat, Pashtu, he spread it out, and Lohava Ail Batara, didn't go into the doorway because it was too long and wide, more than the doorway. So Amalu, he said to them, "Aisu Mori and Vachatzini, go ahead and bring these hatchets and Sisru, and go ahead and break down the opening of the doorway and the wall until there's room for the mat to fit in." That's a vessel, it's not worth the damage that it does. You got to break the house down to get the mat in, it's not worth that amount of damage. So Aisinu, so then Rabbi Shubha Hanani went and brought them all into the boat, because he won, is obvious from the debate. And he brought in kol chad v'chad, he brought them all, each one at a time, and he brought them into the room. Now, kichazi sheet and bistarki, when each one of them saw that in that room were 60 benches, so he thought, oh, there's 60 elders of Athens, so that means all my friends are coming over here. But really, he had 60 rooms with 60 benches. So this guy said, "Amar kul chavra lahach asa," all my friends are coming in over here. But truth is, he was going to be alone. So Amalei, then Rabbi Yeshua said, "L'safuna," to the sailor, to the captain, "Shari svinach, go ahead and untie your boat and let's go." Now, how did the Kaasu, when they were on their way leaving, Shokal Afram Afrayu took some dirt, some dust from the dust of Athens, and he took it with him. Now, as you continue on top of Tesimanov, Kimatil Lebebeli, when they came, when they were on their journey, when they passed the water in the ocean, which that part of the ocean swallows all the waters of the world, where that's where all the water falls and goes down till the abyss. And it swallows all the water, as the Pasuk in Kehilah says, "Vayamen enamali." Why is the sea never full? Because there's a place in the ocean that swallows the water. So Malak huzu demayim ibebli. So Rabbi Shua, when they filled up a jug full of this water from the swallowing water, which this water actually swallows any water that goes into it. Now Kadosu, when they came, ukminu kamekeser, Shua presented the 60 elders of Athens in front of the Caesar. Chazanu, the Hava Ma'ami, he saw that they were humble. And the reason was because they weren't in their land. They were out of sorts. They weren't on their turf. And they didn't look like how they usually look, as arrogant. So Amalei, so the Caesar said to him, Hani Lavnina, this can't be the elders of Athens. So Shalkam Ephraim, Reb Shu took from their dust, Vishadei Levayni sprayed on them, and actually pay Malka, and then they became arrogant and stubborn in front of the king, and they spoke disrespectfully because they smelled the smell of their land. They thought they were close to home on their turf. So Amalei, so the Caesar realized these were the elders of Athens, and he said to Beshua, call the boys of it, whatever you want, you could do with them. So the gear says either Aisinu or Aisinu who mayed the Aisu mi beibli. So he brought those waters from the swallowing waters of the ocean. Shadinu, and the gear says Pitigra, he put it into either a jug or to a barrel. And Amalahu, he said to the elders of Athens, Malyuluhu vaziluhu, says, just fill this jug and then you could go. Malu Rishadu be kamoy kamoy. So they filled up and they kept on putting the first waters in. But Abaluhu, it kept on swallowing the water and it wasn't filling up. Malu ad shamit kisvai, they filled it up until their shoulders got dislocated. Ubaluhu va'azon, and they got worn out and they went totally to their destruction. They totally fell apart because they were never getting anywhere, and therefore that was their demise. That was the end of the story of the Sabbath Beatuna, the elders of Athens, which were bested by Rabbi Shua ben Hananiah.